Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's just stand up just for a moment and raise our hands up to acknowledge the Lord and His purpose here this morning. His Spirit is so powerful that sometimes we underestimate You, Lord, and what You can do for in and through us. And we just thank You for enabling us today to understand what is the exceeding greatness of Your power to us who believe, according to the working of that power which You wrought in Christ. And we thank You for the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we just give You the glory today in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have an anticipation. I saw God answer some prayers last week that were just amazing. We've been dealing with the. I had a series of teachings on praise and thanksgiving, and. I think they were simple but powerful. And so I want to kind of go along that line again today. I had a teaching probably in the early 1920s or 1920, no, I mean, well, that's how far back it was, yeah. 2000. And the date was on here, but I'm not quite that old, even though I probably look like it. I was thinking about 2020, whatever it was. I did one on, I actually have the title anyway. It was The Power of Praise. And, it's something that you know about, but many times we don't apply it to our life or act upon it in our life. And so a lot of times we don't receive the benefits of living a life of praise and thanksgiving. So 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, this is one that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And of course, you've heard this 100 times, so it's not like you're you're wondering about what the scripture says, but sometimes we don't realize what it does. And then Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And sometimes I guess it's hard to grasp the whole idea of that, but and I actually put together a little teaching on prayer, and I'm going to probably do some of it next week. How do I pray without ceasing? How can I pray effectively? And I kept praying last week about thanking God for the Holy Spirit showing me the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ. And I have no doubt the Holy Spirit is going to increase my understanding on the power of God in our lives. And but anyway, I want to I want to talk a little bit about praise this morning. A couple went to a seminar and heard something that they never heard before, and it was this, that they were to praise God for in everything. And I added here, they were to praise God in his victory in everything that happened in their lives, especially what they did not like. Okay. And of course, that's life. You're facing things you don't like, you don't want, you don't ask for. And I just added in my teaching way back, praise God for his victory in everything that happens in their lives, especially what they don't like. Now, things are going to happen, and they have to be overcome. There's no other way around it. You're going to have to learn how to believe, put faith in the reality that Christ has overcome and has already, no matter what happens, given us his victory. That's the truth of God's word. That's the truth of redemption. That's the truth of the cross. And you're not going to escape things in this life that are trying to discourage or defeat or cause you to be overcome. And it happens to all of us. Nobody's exempt from temptations, tests, and trials. Nobody is. And so when these things come, we have to learn to praise God for his victory in everything. But anyway, a couple heard this teaching about praising God no matter what happened. And it never occurred to them this was a new, it was a new, to them it was a new concept. I'm not talking here about praising God for everything. Like the Bible says, give thanks in everything. Okay, so you're not receiving a curse or something like that. You're praising God that these things have been overcome. Okay. You have to have, under all conditions, you know, especially when they're testing us, you have to have an attitude of victory. Christ has won the victory. And, you know, and so this never occurred to them. This was a new concept. And as they were going home, they wanted to apply this truth to their most negative problem in their life, which was their 17-year-old son. Now, you can have a negative problem, and you can continue to live in it and magnify it and make it bigger than God. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you can make it bigger than God. You can disregard God in that problem. And it becomes more negative. It becomes stronger. It comes to a point where you don't realize that it has become a stronghold in your life. It has become a stronghold in your mind. And so they were in a situation where they couldn't overcome, and they didn't understand what to do. Their son was a very unhappy, troubled thorn in the flesh to the entire family. He had been miserable, hostile, frustrated, angry as long as they could remember. They had done everything they knew to do, and nothing worked. Have you ever been there before? Do everything and nothing seemed to work. And as they drove along, they prayed and made a quality commitment to, without ceasing, thank and praise God for their son in everything that was going on. And obviously they were thanking and praising God that he was a solution to their problem and he was bigger than their problem. See? And you know, we just so much negative talk magnifying the devil's work or the problem instead of the power of God in your life. And so when they got home that night, their son was home alone. Every light in the house was on, and they just started saying, Lord, we thank you for for working in our son's life. And the kitchen was a mess, living room, television on, cans, newspapers, old food left all over. And they just said, Lord, we thank you for working in our son. That was their attitude toward, that was their stand. Lord, we thank you that you are bigger than the problems that our son is reflecting in our life, disrupting our life, making it miserable. So it looked like he had gotten undressed on his way to the room, shoes, socks, trousers, shoes strewn all the way to the bedroom. They continued to praise and thank God for their son all that night and the next 3 days. Sunday afternoon, a knock on the bedroom door, and it was their son. And he said this to him, I have been doing a lot of thinking the last 3 days, have been thinking a lot of my hostility out on you and the family. And I am not going to do this anymore. So something radically changed in his life from their praise. A lasting turnaround came in the boy's life after this. That's miraculous. That's the kind of power that we want to see at work in our life. And then when he was 21 years old, the mother was asking a Christian psychologist, from the time we started thanking God for our son until now, he has never reverted back to his old behavior. And she was asking him, what do you attribute this to? His answer, when you prayed, what do you attribute this to? And his answer was this. When you praise God for what you did not like, you brought God into the negative and released his power to work. See, we have to bring God into the negative. God isn't going to do it for us. That's up to us to act in faith for what happens. And you know life goes wrong, don't you? And so we do not thank God for the things because we feel thankful, number one. Most of the time we don't feel thankful. We have no feelings of thankfulness. And so we don't thank God. When we don't thank God in the negative things, we keep a lid on it, and He is unable to work. But when we praise God and thank God for the victory, say victory, in things we don't like, we are literally allowing God in that area, we are releasing His power to work. Okay. We become bitter to the degree that we don't give thanks. Okay, we become bitter to the degree we don't give thanks. And I don't want to become a bitter person, so I know now is the time to act on the word. God has never done anything about many things because we have never allowed Him to come in. And, you know, people just continue to magnify the problem. And sometimes it looks completely hopeless. But they've never started to thank and praise God for the victory over that problem. That's not their lifestyle. Now, thanksgiving and praise is an act of your will, not your emotions. Okay, and it's not an act of your feelings. Because if it's going to be an act of your feelings, you're not going to feel like praising God at all. Okay. So God commands us to give thanks in all things, not for all things, but in all things. I'm not thanking Him for a curse. I'm thanking Him that He's overcome the curse. He's overcome the attack. He's overcome the problem that looks impossible to you. Okay. He commands us to give thanks in all things. We don't have to feel thankful in order to thank God. Thanking God is an act of the will. Okay. It's not an act of your feelings or your emotions. Sometimes the only time we will thank God is when it looks like everything's fine and we're affected emotionally. And you're going to find out, like I do, you're going to deal with some real negative problems. But if we act on the word, God will always take a negative and make a positive out of it. We need to look through God's eyes in life. That we have already been given the victory in Christ. Regardless of the circumstance or what it looks like, we face things in the power of His victory. No matter what it looks like, it might look like a total defeat. You may look at something and feel totally helpless. And you just start praising God. How many know God inhabits praises? You know, that's why the Bible, that's why I wrote we had that opening scripture, I will bless the Lord. We're blessing him. Okay, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What a powerful scripture. How powerful that is. What's coming out of your mouth? You know, it was probably a couple years ago now, Lori, that God just really dealt with me. And I'm not telling you this for you. He just said, he told me to shut up. The quickest way you can end up in trouble is your tongue. The easiest way to sin is with your tongue. And a lot of times you're doing a lot of unnecessary talking. That's non-productive, that ends up, we end up in trouble with it. And we don't realize that we're forfeiting our victory. So I had to learn, you know, I'm trying to learn and have been trying to learn to be quiet. Just like the time I sat here alone and was asking God one day, what's my problem? I was sitting right there. And I said, Lord, show me what my problem is. And he spoke one word to me, loud and clear, it's your pride. And I repented of that pride, and I don't remember under what circumstance I was in at that time, but he just said, it's your pride. So I made a covenant with God. I said, Holy Spirit, Lord, show me the minute that I'm in pride. I submitted to his correction. You know, sometimes people don't want to be corrected. They'll resist correction. And so they're not listening to God. And pride gets us in trouble. And it comes in many different forms. Sometimes we don't even know we're in pride. And so the only way I can overcome pride, or I started to overcome pride, is I just said, Lord, convict me. Show me. Show me. Show me my pride so that I can repent of it and be accountable in you. And so from that day on, because he knew, you know, that my heart was really true with that, that was really sincere. And it's not that from that point on that I never had pride. That's not the point. Thank God that he would correct me and convict me in his love about my pride. And I would repent. It's called accountability. You know, when you get serious about God, he will get serious about you. And so that was a turning point in my life, in an area that I didn't realize, you know, how much pride I had. And then years go by, and it's like, Lord, I just need to shut up. There's things that I absolutely do not need to talk about. You know, I'm not living my life to defend myself. And when you get into that trap, you know, you're going to find out that people will accuse you. And you want to defend yourself, but you know the Bible says that when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. You know, I thank God I don't have to struggle for the rest of my life trying to defend myself. The judge is at the door. So thanksgiving is an act of your will. You must establish yourself in a life of continual thanksgiving. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I know what it's like, and I've failed in it. Where you're going through a hard thing, you don't want to be thankful. That's the last thing you want to do. You know, sometimes it's all about you and feeling sorry for yourself, and instead of magnifying and praising God for victory. Okay. You know, as far as the eternal fruit, victory is a word that we need to completely, it needs to govern our heart. You are victorious. God already sees you victorious. You need to see yourself victorious now. He's already given you the victory. And I'll tell you what, he's given you his, I'm not talking about your victory. I'm not talking about you overcoming on your own. I'm talking about celebrating the fact that Christ won that victory for you. Now, God's no respecter of persons, but he's a respecter of faith. And sometimes, you know, you wonder, well, why did God bless them? Well, maybe they exercised faith in God where you didn't. See what I'm saying? He's a respecter of faith. Without faith, it's going to be impossible to please him. Okay. Sometimes that seems hard. But God only honors faith. You know, you can sit all day and feel sorry for yourself, but God doesn't respond to feeling sorry for yourself. Okay? You know, what I try and do, and I'm not the example. I'll tell you, I'm being tested in my life greater than I ever have before. So what I try and do, a lot of times I'm probably communicating with God during the night. If I'm not sleeping, I'm trying to quote scripture or praise. But when the day comes, you know, the Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. Whose day is it? Satan's or God's? So what I'm trying to say is when I wake up in the morning, I am ready. At least I want to think I'm ready. Lord, I want to walk in your will this day. Okay, that's not something occasional. How have you laid my day out? What is your will for this day? And it's kind of interesting that he will do all kinds of things. You know, he'll put a person on your heart, and and then you want to contact him and pray with him. It's amazing the things that happen when you give God your day. And then you are willing to be obedient in that day to fulfill his eternal purpose. You know, that is a real milestone for a person when you realize that when you get up in the morning, it's the day that he has made. He's already made your life. He's already set it out. You don't have to struggle. You just have to yield to what God wants to do. And then you have to be obedient to what God wants to do. Okay. So, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you that you're in this day. Thank you that you're directing this day. Thank you for showing me your will this day. And then fulfilling that will. Being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Being yielded to his purpose in that day. You know, that to me, that's a big deal. I do not want to live my whole life resisting God's will. But as the scripture says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I thank God for his will. I don't make plans on my own. If something comes up, I say, Lord, is this your will? I want to have a heart that is obedient to his will. I want to give him the preeminence in my life. You know, the gospel isn't a self-centered gospel. It's a God-centered gospel. And a lot of the teaching we hear is all about us. You know, but the real fruit of a Christian's life is their obedience to God's purpose and will, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And I'm going to tell you, it's wonderful. You know, God doesn't show people his will until they are willing to be committed and submitted to his will. Okay. It's not your choice. It's God's choice. And there is a blessing in that. And, you know, you can feel really fruitful. You know, you can, it isn't about necessarily even big things. It's just doing what God shows you to do. Okay. You can turn a negative into a victorious outcome, or you can make a negative more negative. And as far as people go, You need to learn how to pray. You need to learn how to give thanks for people. When you're thinking about a negative relationship, give thanks. Don't curse it. You've probably already done that. Give God thanks that He is at work in their life, friend or foe. I don't want to curse any relationship. I want to bless it with God's purpose. And He can turn it around. I don't want to sit all day and criticize people. I want to give thanks that God is at work, sometimes restoring relationships, sometimes just dealing with a person and bringing enough conviction on them for them to repent. We need to let God be at work at all times in this life. See, and so when we act that way, God always takes a negative and makes it a positive. An attitude of gratitude. Face this question: do I possess an attitude of gratitude? Nine out of 10 people are ungrateful. Practicing grace in ingratitude, failing to give praise and thanks to God. This is a Bible fact. Let's look at Luke 17:12. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Go to verse 13 if we could. Or is that it? Oh, okay, we don't have the whole story there. I apologize for that. But he healed 10 lepers. Okay, here it is. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So they obeyed. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. One of them. One of them. You know, people basically, in their fallen nature, have no gratitude to God. They're not in that kind of relationship with Him. Okay. I know you have gratitude. And of course, we learned that gratitude a heart filled and governed by gratitude or a lack of it is a great spiritual barometer to one's spiritual health. Okay. A heart void of thanksgiving is a heart out from under the control of God's grace. God wants to renew our mind and set and refine our attitude of heart until our inner man is filled with gratitude. When we fail in giving thanks, this becomes the indication of where faith in God ends and unbelief begins. Okay, that's good. That's good teaching right there. And So there were only one that came back to show gratitude for their healing. I know that's not you. I know that when God blesses you, whether it's through people or you show gratitude. Now, God has a warning about the consequences of losing the attitude of gratitude. And I'm back on my teaching here, so I went to the other, I went to thanksgiving and praise, but I just wanted to bring that out for a minute. Now I'm back on the page that they brought up to us. I'm kind of probably confusing the person that's up there. But God has a warning. Here it is. God has a warning about consequences of losing. Now listen to this. About losing the attitude of gratitude. Because, and it says this, that because when they knew God, you received Christ as your Savior, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination. If you're not glorifying God as God, then you're glorifying something else. But became vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts. Can a person have a foolish heart? I sure have had a foolish heart. Was darkened. Romans 1:21. That's a powerful verse. Ingratitude extinguishes the light of God in your heart. And God declares ingratitude the mark of a foolish heart. That's what the Bible says. I'm teaching what God says now, not an opinion. I want to have his heart of gratitude. You know, let's just put our hand on our heart right now. Lord, right now as we listen to your word, your will. We make a covenant in our hearts that you have given us the power to have a heart of gratitude. Let this be a turning point in our life. We make a covenant to have a heart of gratitude. Thank you for giving us that heart, or we could never have it on our own. You give that to us, and we thank you for it. It's one of the greatest blessings we could ever receive or achieve, because it is directly relating in our, it's directly our heart in our relationship with God. It's the center of our relationship with God. Thank you for a victory. Thank you for instilling that in our heart. So the light of God in your heart declares. When the light goes out in your heart, God declares ingratitude the mark of a foolish heart, just like I said. Praising and thanking him in a negative is saying, Lord, I am trusting you in this test. I know that you're going to cause this test that I'm going through to work out for my good and your glory. God's big enough to take something that could literally destroy us. And when we put our faith in him, he's making it work out for our good and his glory. We need to thank him for that. I choose with my will to thank you in whatever I'm in, this trouble that I'm going through, even when I don't feel like it. Now, when we're self-centered, what we want to do is we want to Thanksgiving is the furthest thing from our heart that we would feel like doing. It's the furthest thing. And what happens when you're self-centered is that you want to withdraw within yourself. It's really called, it's a form of feeling sorry for yourself. See? And that's something that if we practice that, we need to identify that and repent of it. Now, don't tell me that there aren't times that we don't feel sorry for ourselves. And so, you know, at that time, instead of expressing the whole story about what went wrong and trying to get sympathy and going through all the motions of that, we need to learn to recognize it's a sin. You know, and you spend so much time, and as you continue in all of that, you're now angry at God. You're now questioning his integrity. And it just keeps spiraling down. To the point, you know, that your foolish heart is darkened. There are times that you want to feel sorry for yourself. And I know there are times that I want to feel sorry for myself. Especially when I'm going through something very severe. And sometimes you just, it's all right to, you know, to talk to somebody and voice what you're suffering. But then we have to bring God into our situation. Sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes we want to hang on. I'm not making this easy. I'm just telling you what we go through. You know, and instead of just learning how to overcome it by praising and thanking God for the victory, you're going to go through hard things. There's nobody exempt in life, I'm sorry to say. There are just all kinds of different scenarios that people go through. And a lot of times they're destroyed by them because they didn't turn to God and learn that he's already given them the victory over the problem, you know. Even death. Even death. You've given me the victory over this, Lord. If I die, you've given me the victory in this. See. I was listening to, I'll close with this, but I was listening to Andrew Womack they had a little clip in there, and I had heard the testimony before, where his son died and ended up in the morgue and with a tag on his toe, and his body turned black. And I guess it was that his other son called and said, you know, I don't know what the boy's name was, but he died. And so him and his wife were an hour away from the morgue. And so they're driving there, and he was thinking about being tested at that time. I guess you would be tested, you know. And so he just decided that he was going to praise God. And then he started thinking about the prophecies that someone gave him about his son's future. And he said, this is not the fulfillment of that. And thanking and praising God for his son. It's a remarkable testimony of God. God raised him from the dead. He's still alive now because somebody faced something that was so horrifically impossible. You know, it's one thing for one of us to die that's older, but this, he was a young boy, a young man. He had a life to live. And I thought to myself, he didn't give up. You know, I mean, you know, maybe he's got a lot more faith than we do. I don't know, but he just wouldn't give up. And God raised the boy from the dead. There was no brain damage after he was dead for 6 hours. That's an impossibility. I have expectations here today. I know that some of you, I'm going to pray for you. You know, and God is going to give. You know, we went this is probably something you can't identify with, but we were going to get some wood that Jerome had, and so we wanted to take the truck and the trailer, and they left at 1:30. I wasn't involved in it, but and she had to be at a hair appointment at 3:30. Well, it's a half hour drive to get there, a half hour drive to get back. And I just said, you know, I guess you'll have to cancel your hair appointment. I says, I'll pay for it, but, you know, I can't believe it. They were back before the hair appointment, and it was impossible. It was just an impossibility. It was a miracle. I don't know how God altered time to cause that to happen, but it happened. And, you know, then that same day, I'm trying to get this deer blind that I had, you know, up. And I just said a prayer. I said, Lord, I can't do it myself. Could have been 10 minutes. I got a knock on the door. Blind sitting there. It was an answer to prayer. I wouldn't call it a miracle, but I saw God work to answer a prayer that was impossible for me. You know what I mean? Just God's at work. All right. He's at work, but he's at work when we thank him and we praise him. That is our heart, our attitude of heart. That is the attitude of heart that God responds to. Give us that heart, Lord. Put your hands on your heart again. Lord, give us a heart of praise and thanksgiving.